everyone. My name is Donna Langell, and I'm the Community Engagement Librarian at UBC Okanagan. I've been working at UBCO since August 1st, 2019, and within this role, I work to support some of the indigitization goals in the Okanagan. I'm recording this interview today from my home, which is located on the unceded, ancestral, and traditional territory of the Sealik Okanagan Nation. I'll be joined by Kayla Larson, the new Indigenous Programs and Services Librarian at the Wiwa Library. Hi, Kayla. Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me and agreeing to be on this podcast episode. I first want to say welcome to UBC. We are so happy and excited to have you join us.
Hi, Donna. Yeah, thanks for having me and thanks for inviting me onto this podcast episode. I'm really excited about starting my new position at the Wiwa Library and at UBC as the Indigenous Programs and Services Librarian. And I can't wait to actually be there and be on campus eventually and get to meet everybody.
Yeah, hopefully not too long.
Yeah, hopefully.
So I was wondering if we could start by maybe you could just introduce yourself a little bit more and tell us a little bit about your experience at the University of Alberta working with Indigenous communities.
So my name is Kayla Larson. I was born here in Alberta. My mom is Métis, and she's a Howes, Faville, Spence, and Grant. And she grew up kind of in the community. Well, she was born in Manitoba, and my family here in Alberta is from the Hardesty area as well as the Buffalo Lake Métis settlement area. And my dad's family are Ukrainian settlers, and they kind of settled around the Scarrow, Radway, and Wasetna area in northeastern Alberta. So that's like a little bit about me, and I think especially like acknowledging where you're from and where your family's from, it really shapes kind of who you are and like how you see the world and your perspectives on things. So I grew up pretty much in the prairies in Alberta. But you know, life is taking me all over the place. So for the last few years, I have been primarily with the University of Alberta. I have a degree in Native Studies from the U of A, and then I completed my MLIS in 2018 from the University of Alberta as well. And for the past 2 years, I've been working as a Indigenous resident for University of Alberta Libraries, specifically within digital initiatives. Prior to that, while doing my master's, I was an Indigenous intern at the U of A Libraries, and I worked in Rutherford Social Sciences and Humanities Library, working on the desk and then working on some special projects with them as well. But for the last few years, I've been primarily at the U of A working in DI with Indigenous communities and working with Indigenous data sovereignty. But however, like I said, moving out to the coast, very excited to be doing that and to be assuming a new role out there and working with the Wiwa Library as well.
It really seems like you've gained so much experience since being a student in a library program. And I think that might have been actually the first time we had met is when we were both students. You know, being a librarian myself, I'm a little bit curious as to why you chose to become a librarian.
When I was first doing my Native Studies degree, I never saw myself kind of going in the trajectory of being a librarian. I really wanted to be a lawyer when I was going through my NS degree, and that's kind of where I saw myself. But while I was doing my degree, everybody in the Faculty of Native Studies has to take a mandatory research class, an Indigenous research class. So I took that class with Dr. Frank Tuff, and part of the component in that class was library research and how to do library research. So I found myself in one of the libraries on campus at least once a week doing kind of like library scavenger hunts, getting to meet the librarians and getting to learn really what library systems are like from the professionals, so from librarians at the U of A. This kind of, you know, really influenced me to learn more about libraries as well. When I was kind of doing my four-year degree, I worked for Dr. Frank Tupp in the Métis Archival Project, doing rights-based litigation research for the different Métis nations, and doing primarily archival research as well as genealogies for him. So I got to spend more time in archives than libraries. But when I was graduating, Frank was actually my supervisor for my honors program. And as I was graduating, I was telling him about my plans to go to law school. And he was like, you know, I don't know if you'll make a great lawyer, but you'd be a great librarian. So maybe you should change your focus and think about actually going into a library degree. So that kind of pushed me more into doing libraries. So I applied, I got in, I was offered the internship, which was a great incentive as well to go into libraries. And then I kind of found my passion more while actually doing my MLIS. So I kind of got into libraries by being told that I would be a horrible lawyer, but a great librarian.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing that you did, because we're so happy to have you be a librarian at UBC. So I was wondering, some of your previous work has focused on indigenizing or decolonizing digital practices in librarianship. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could tell us more about that.
Originally, when I was kind of like going into my residency, I was specifically hired to work in digital initiatives, which I kind of had no clue what exactly I was going to be doing in DI, like what they even did in that unit. However, as I kind of moved into this position as a Indigenous resident with them, I saw some areas within the DI unit which could really use like an Indigenous perspective about how we engage with knowledges, Indigenous created content, and so forth, on and so forth. So one of the things that I mainly did with them was looking at kind of the concept of Indigenous data sovereignty and how we could apply that to our digital collections that we had through the U of A. So one of the things that I worked on was creating kind of policies and procedures to working with Indigenous communities. So that's pretty much everything from approaching communities when we have collections that we've inherited at the U of A that maybe we shouldn't be the, you know, stewards of anymore. So looking at repatriating collections back to communities, or when communities come to us saying that they wanted to work on projects with us and have their material digitized. So I kind of set up best practices, toolkits, and ways that we can respectfully engage with communities and with Indigenous content in a way that's not so colonial, and with the U of A claiming ownership of this content. So still allowing communities to have ownership and rights over content and be really an integral force on saying what happens to the content, who should have access to it, who shouldn't have access to it, and kind of where it should be housed. So that's a lot that I did with the U of A and with digital initiatives, and as well as kind of getting buy-in from communities, talking about why Indigenous data sovereignty is important as well. So kind of breaking down some of those barriers that communities can also have when it comes to working with academics and with academic institutions. So that's a lot that I did with them, as well as doing a little bit of outreach with the people that develop Murkidu and the traditional knowledge labels through local context, to see how those can also be used in an academic sense and how we could begin to use them at the U of A. So that's one thing that I did, as well as I created a guide recently on Indigenous research, which does incorporate the kind of concept of digital ethics, data sovereignty, and how Indigenous knowledges and research play into that. As well as I'm starting to look at writing a book on kind of the difference between the idea of, or a book chapter, I should say, on the difference between academic ownership and Indigenous ownership and how it doesn't work together. So even when we're looking at who gets to claim copyright over an academic paper, how if an Indigenous community is involved, that they don't get to claim copyright under Canadian copyright laws, but the person who actually writes the paper gets to claim copyright. So there's kind of some competing ideas there on ownership of information and ownership of knowledges. So kind of like really critically reviewing that, and also looking at how digital content plays into that and how open access plays into that as well. So that's a little bit about kind of what I was doing with digital collections at the U of A and kind of where I'm still picking up some of those projects from the U of A and moving forward with them.
Yeah, that work is so incredibly important, and I think aligns with the work that is being done in digitization as well. Mm-hmm. And I do want to come back to that a little bit later and talk about your work within digitization. I thought before we kind of dive into that though, I wanted to bring up the fact that you're also an experienced podcaster, and your podcast Bookwoman is also incredibly popular. And I was wondering if you could tell us about your work with that podcast.
So I'm one of three Indigenous Librarians, who is part of the Bookwoman podcast, which is also known as Misnaigan Isquiak, which is the Y dialect Cree word for a Indigenous, like a female librarian, I guess. So it pretty much translates to a bookwoman. So that's how we kind of got the name, the Bookwoman. So we have one season that is completely recorded. And the focus of our podcast is on Indigenous storytelling and supporting and uplifting Indigenous voices to begin to, you know, tell their stories and tell their stories in different formats. So we've interviewed people that are academics writing academic papers, you know, new authors who are writing fictional books. We've interviewed even Indigenous illustrators who illustrate books and burlesque artists who, you know, use their bodies to tell a story, as well as we've talked to traditional storytellers also out in communities. So that's kind of the general theme of the Bookwoman podcast. So the three of us that make up the podcast are myself, Sheila LaRocque, and Tanya Ball. And so Tanya is a PhD student at the U of A who's studying Indigenous storytelling through the Faculty of Native Studies, but she once was a librarian as well at the U of A, and so that's how we know each other. And then Sheila LaRocque is a community librarian at Saskatoon Public Library, and she was also a resident at the U of A, and that's how we ended up meeting each other. So we all kind of met through U of A libraries and then started this podcast through some money that was given for a conference. And at the end of it, they wanted a documentary to be made, but we ended up doing a podcast instead. And so for the second season of the podcast, we got picked up by Indian and Cowboy, which is run through Ryan McMahon's podcasting. And so Indian Cowboy picked us up to be one of their incubator podcast series. So we are getting supported by Indian and Cowboy right now to move forward with the second season of the Bookwoman, as well as we recently accepted an Edmonton Community Arts grant to also go forward with the second season as well. And pretty much we were just holding off because we were waiting for funding before we did any more recording, because we really think it's important to acknowledge people for their time and support, you know, new Indigenous or, you know, even well-established Indigenous writers, authors, individuals. So we always like to give like an honorarium to our guests, and, you know, it's hard to pay that out of your own pocket. So we're waiting on some funding as well as funding to kind of get our branding together and to get some new equipment so that we can have some great, like, you know, some new mics and speakers, as well as some new like technology for editing the podcast and stuff like that, which is coming through Indian and Cowboy. So they're helping with us with more of the like the logistics of doing the editing, as well as supporting us with the microphones and stuff like that. So that's been really great. So we're really looking forward to kind of getting started with the second season. It's going to be interesting, especially with all of us being kind of provinces apart. We're used to being able to just sit all in the same room. So that definitely will be a change, but I think it's nice to see kind of also the podcast progress with our lives as well. So from the first season to even the second season, we're all in such different places on what's happening in our personal lives and our professional lives as well. So I think that'll be reflected a lot within the second season when it gets released.
Congratulations. That's incredible. And what a great way to reach new audiences as well.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting. And so we're going to try and even do a couple like little one-offs with local bookstores or authors in the different communities where we are. So with me out in Vancouver, Tanya here in Edmonton, and then Sheila in Saskatoon. So we might be able to do these kind of like little one-off events, as well as we'd like to do some more like bigger events like book festivals or like podcasting festivals, and get out there and kind of talk about Indigenous podcasting and why it's important, as well as like why it's important for Indigenous librarians to also kind of be very vocal and out there in the community to kind of show our support for Indigenous librarianship and get the word across on what it is and how it in some cases different from other forms of traditional librarianship as well. So.
Wow. Awesome. Well, I know I really enjoyed listening to your podcast, and I look forward to the second season for sure.
Oh, thank you.
I was wondering, what are you looking forward to working on in your new role as Indigenous Programs and Services Librarian at WeWA Library?
Some of the things that I'm really looking forward to doing while I'm at WeWA is really engaging with the community and also seeing how we can do more outreach with the community. So I think it's really great to kind of identify what communities we are serving and, you know, what's working, what's not working also for what we're doing, but also trying to figure out what communities maybe we're not outreaching to or not outreaching to enough and why that might be. So some of the things that I'm going, because the WeWA Library does, from what I understand, allow for Indigenous external borrowers to use the library. But one of the things is how do people know that we have that service for them, right? So really getting out there, meeting with stakeholders, community members, and really getting kind of that buy-in for WeWA and being like, this is a great library. We have resources. You are welcome here. Please come and see us. And as well as getting to work with students at the U of A, and I know it'll be a little bit different this year just because I'm social distancing, but at the U of A, one of my favorite things is like our week of welcome, which is when you get to meet all the new students. So I absolutely love working with students, going out, meeting them, being very visible with the student population, whether or not that's undergraduates or graduate students, and getting to know them, especially from like the first week that they're on campus and engaging with them, showing them the things that like WeWA can do for them, the supports that we have for them, and just really getting it to be a place where, you know, students feel comfortable just dropping in and hanging out, as well as doing some more outreach with the Longhouse at UBC and the Indigenous Student Services that are out there as well, and seeing how WeWA can do more to support Indigenous learners on campus and some collaboration that we can have between the two communities. So that's kind of some of the things that I've been thinking about that I can do. I'm pretty lucky as well because my sister-in-law is a social worker in Vancouver. So it's really great to also have her support because I am moving from Alberta. So having her support on being able to identify some of the communities that we can also outreach to who may be more vulnerable communities that could benefit from, you know, some of the supports that WeWA might be able to give them. I did work with incarcerated women here in Alberta through a program that's kind of like a Walls to Bridges program. So it'd be interesting to see in a way how UBC could support maybe a program like that. I know that they have some programs that they do have with like inner city Vancouver, but it would be interesting to see how even just WeWA specifically could support those types of programs that are happening even larger and kind of give like an Indigenous perspective to it. And just trying to figure out how to move forward with that, especially when you can't be there in person.
Absolutely. I know myself too. It sounds like you're, you know, you have a lot of passion for community engagement and community outreach, and being community engagement librarian myself, I've been wondering what that kind of looks like in a virtual or online only world.
Yeah, that's kind of the challenging thing. And especially, you know, it's hard, especially when you are really passionate for working with students, faculty, staff, like, and supporting Indigenous initiatives. It's really hard to not be there and see people face to face. It'll be interesting to see how this moves forward and how this kind of like reminds us as well about the relationships that we have and how we have to value those relationships with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. My understanding too is that you'll be doing some work with the Indigitization program. I was wondering, how did you learn about the Indigitization program?
So I kind of learned about the Indigitization. So I actually learned about WeWA. Not so much. I thought I would have learned a lot more about it when I was actually a student doing my MLIS, but I learned more about the WeWA Library when I was prepping to actually teach for SLIS, which is a School of Library and Information Studies at the U of A. And I teach a course there on Indigenous librarianship. So I was doing a little bit more digging about WeWA specifically while I was prepping for the course and to talk about Indigenous libraries and Indigenous like metadata and subject headings. And then that's how I kind of learned a little bit about the Indigitization program, because I think I watched a video about, and it was Sarah DuPont and Jerry Lawson were talking about the program. And then when I went into my role at the U of A as a resident working in digital initiatives, and I was trying to develop and build best practices and toolkits, I came across the Indigitization Toolkit, which they have open and free to access. And so I kind of was looking through that and really got interested in the program and saw how the program can really be kind of a catalyst for other universities that are trying to build programs kind of like this, because it is so well established and been doing so much work for a significant amount of time now. So it's kind of one of those things where they kind of are the start that everybody can kind of build their own services off of and start to tailor it to their own institutions. So that's how I originally learned about Indigitization and WIWA as well.
Well, it's great that you incorporated it into your own lesson plan so that hopefully future librarians will be able to have learned that while they're in school.
Yeah, they learn about WIWA Library mainly when they learn about Indigenous specific libraries, but we talk about the Indigitization program when we do our week on Indigenous data sovereignty, grassroots initiatives for communities. So that's pretty much when students actually get to focus on Indigitization specifically and look through the toolkit and kind of get to explore that. So
very cool. I wish I was a student in that class. So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I was wondering if maybe you could expand a little bit on why you think initiatives like Indigitization are important.
I think especially programs like Indigitization are so important because I think a lot within libraries, one of the things that we kind of fall into as librarians is telling people what we think they should do, but not necessarily giving them the capacity to make changes for themselves. And I think Indigitization kind of does the opposite. They have communities identify projects that they want to do. It actually has communities determining what they need and identifying the capacity that kind of UBC can support them. So it's not so much UBC telling communities what to do. It's communities really being in control of the project, the projects that they want to do, the ownership of the project, and kind of everything that surrounds that. So I think that's why it's so important, because it is very community driven and not so much UBC telling the community what to do, which is unfortunately what you see with a lot of other academic programs. So I think that's what makes it very unique, very special, and why it has so much success with communities and why it does get so much community interest as well.
Yeah, definitely. So we're just nearing the end of our interview now, and I was wondering if there was anything else that you'd like to share about yourself with the UBC or the Indigitization community.
When it comes to Indigitization, I think the new thing that we're going to have to think about, especially, when I was applying for the position, it was pre-COVID and, the world was what it used to be. And I think now, especially that we are in a position where we're not necessarily able to interact with communities as much, we're really going to have to rethink kind of how we outreach to communities, how we can actually take this program and have it so that communities can use the support, use the training and the teaching on how to do the digitization, but in a way that's more virtual so that communities can actually still participate, but in a way that's also safe for communities. So I think we're going to really have to think forward, but I think the program will still be very successful, even if it isn't delivered in the way that it traditionally was delivered, just because of the world as it is now. When it comes to myself, letting people know a little bit about me, I love talking to people. I love seeing people, having coffee. I'm very excited to be out at UBC. I will be in the WIWA library. So if anyone's listening to this that's on campus, please come visit me. If I'm in my office, just knock on the door and say hi. Shoot me an email. Let's go for coffee sometimes. I'm definitely not one to be in my office all the time, because I do like being out and about and with communities. So sometimes it can be a little bit hard to track me down, as I will probably be running around campus, but definitely come by, come say hi. You can ask me about the farm that I just moved from, because I will be transitioning from living on a farm pretty much to moving into the big city of Vancouver. So ask me about farm life if you really feel like it. Yeah. And also, if you're interested in, if you're not a librarian yet, you're just looking at going into your MLIS, definitely feel free to, you know, send me an email, contact me about like MLIS programs, as well as if you're interested at all in the class that Tanya and I teach. So Indigenous LIS in a Canadian context, which is through the U of A, definitely email me about that and we can talk about the course too together. Because it's something, you know, the course, the podcast, it's something that I'm very passionate about as well. I love teaching. I love teaching the next, you know, generation of librarians. And, you know, I hope this course that we teach really can support new librarians to have an idea of what Indigenous librarianship is, and so that they can go forward to work with communities in a respectful and responsible way where, you know, they're accountable to communities and communities are accountable to them as well.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to do that soon and visit people in person. That would be great. I know we'd be super excited to have you come visit us at UBC Okanagan as well. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed today and for recording this kind of one-off podcast. I know that the Indigenization and UBC community is really looking forward to meeting you, and we're just so excited to have you join us.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it too. So